We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
What about perfect on a good day?
Can Derek? What about a bad day?
He looks bad on a bad.
What about a bad day?
I plead the fifth.
I mean, can Derek Carr quarterback like he did a few years back when he was in the MVP conversation?
But
I don't know. It feels like he can't to me. That's
and
all.
You know what, Steiny? John Gruden and Mayock might feel the same way. That's why they went and got Antonio Brown. They took some risk, but they're going to get the question answered, Bonte. Is Derek Carr a top-tier quarterback, or is he scared? And now, unlike the Niners, we're going to give him a Cadillac, a Ferrari on the outside, so that will help us find out what's going on. Is it the receiver, or is it the quarterback? And we're going to find those answers out, and it may come with a guy on his phone in the meeting or late. Yeah. But I just think, Steiny, this is not romper room. It's not the Cub Scout. You got to allow for men to be, the Jordan rules?
For men to be unprofessional. Come on, guru.
It's a barbaric sport.
So what? So it's a barbaric sport, so you don't have to show up?
No, I'm saying show up.
What's his deal? What's he doing?
I'm going to say this. And I'm going to shoot myself in the foot. That offseason one-on-one on ESPN, you saw
Jeff Darlington, yeah.
Hey, you talk about elevator not getting to the top. I was in the lab this night, lights out.
You'll have a laugh.
Yeah, I text you, I believe, Bonte. Yeah. I said, some things may be going on.
So why do you want him then?
I'm giving him the BOD because he can play and he's a badass when he's out there.
Well, there's a guy from Pittsburgh who called the morning show right when the trade went down, and he basically said Antonio Brown hasn't been the same since that hit laid by Vontaze Burfict. He hasn't been the same, and he's been acting weird.
And that was a hit.
And this situation is weird, where he posts on IG Friday, do y'all really want to see me quit? Like, do you really? Like, he's threatening to not play already. We haven't even got to week two of the preseason. And you talk about Carr. Look, talking about another unsexy position, the offensive line. Incognito suspended for the first two games. Gabe Jackson carted off in practice.
Gabe hurt.
He's out 8 weeks. And we know Derek Carr could get skittish in a pocket. Protection will be an issue for the Oakland Raiders. We'll see how tough Derek Carr is behind this offensive line. We know he was tough last year, but man, he may be taking some shots in the first 2 weeks of
the
season.
And I wonder if Antonio Brown's playing us all. Like, he loves the fact that these shows are... He's like, I ain't even missed a regular season game. This is all fodder for this week, tomorrow night.
Hard knocks.
Yeah, part of me feels like he's playing us, and like Gruden knows he's in on the joke. I could be wrong.
Hope your birthday is booming.
They said the Raiders officials didn't know where he was. Like, he's gone dark. I wonder if the hard knock cameras knows where Antonio Brown is. And if that's the case, that's a big issue, Goo. That's a big issue. If he's on Hard Knocks tomorrow with cameras in his face.
What does that mean, you're dark? They don't know what you're
doing.
They don't know where you're at.
Yeah. 925, Steiny, that's very disrespectful. Derek Carr has shown that he can do it. He's just had some injuries. Jimmy G has. I said both those guys. I don't know that. Is it disrespectful to Derek Carr to say, I'm not sure he can get back to that MVP form?
That's in a professional opinion.
I don't think that's disrespectful.
No.
I don't think it is.
And he has had a better career, obviously, than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think they both got to do some things this year.
And if you had a top five quarterback list with the most pressure on them, they're all under pressure, Bonte. Those two in the Bay Area would be on the list.
Oh, there's no
they're
doubt.
Definitely on mine.
There's no doubt. The move to Vegas,
Jimmy Garoppolo
with the out clause. There's no doubt.
What do you call that? Is it just the out clause?
It's a Parag Marate special.
Wow.
Hey, I was watching something this weekend that I think should be the next Olympic sport.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I am dead serious.
And you don't do this much.
Cornhole.
You heard me gripe on it.
Cornhole. The American Cornhole Tournament this weekend was phenomenal.
It's not a sport.
Yeah, I think it is.
This should be on TV.
Yeah, I think it is. I think
and
it's
you
both.
Stole from horseshoes.
I think it's a sport, and I think it should be on TV. And
it's
no,
overrated.
They didn't. No, they didn't.
They stole from horseshoes.
You can't throw a horseshoe onto a wooden box like that.
What's the sport aspect of it?
You got to aim.
You can have 10 beers.
Strategy.
Any
aim.
Type of.
No, it's no strategy.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding
me? I play cornhole.
There is a ton of strategy. You got to know when to airmail shots. You got to know when to push shots. There's a lot of strategy. There's only one thing I didn't like.
My niece could play cornhole. She's five.
Cornhole's not big in the streets.
Yeah, it's not.
Ahead.
I've never seen cornhole.
You need me to, I'll bring a couple boards over to your house.
See that, and people that'll be a turnoff.
No,
instant. Oh, here he comes.
No, won't.
Paul Bunyan.
No.
Cornhole.
The only thing I didn't like is they let the contestants wear earphones. Like you can play with listening to music. I don't like that. I think if you're going to be
that's
in a cornhole
a sport,
competition,
right.
And there's an atmosphere, you gotta.
There's
gotta
no
be in
uniform.
The
they don't you even gotta, dress up, Bonte. If you ain't in a uniform, it ain't a sport.
It's not a sport. Cornhole's not a sport. It's something that
take that back.
People
now.
Do when they're drinking at a picnic.
Back. I will not
so
take
what's
that
not
back.
A sport.
What intrigues you about
it's
it?
It's fascinating how good these guys are. The strategy involved.
Why don't we have leagues? Why don't we see cornhole tournaments?
Because it's a relatively new sport. It's coming, baby. It's absolutely
I think it's
coming.
Going the other way.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
Like, how many times you play cornhole, Goo? Where
I've never
you
played
play,
it. I won't
played
play
it. And after a game or two, you're like, all right, it's time to move on.
I'm out. Rick Tittle tried to get me to play when right. We went to the Shark game. A bunch of drunk people at a bar. I wasn't one of them.
I agree with this texter here.
I'm out.
I agree with this texter from 610. Cornhole is a game designed so you can play with one hand and drink a beer with your other hand.
See.
Like, that's what I think. If you're going to make it a league, have some alcohol in the other hand.
No. If you're a great cornhole player, you have the bags, your bean bags in both hands. You're not drinking while you're shooting. You may sip a beer as your partner shoots down at the other end, but you do not throw the bean bag with a beer in your hand.
So how would one train for this Olympic sport? The
practice.
Trade.
Practice.
You don't need to trade.
Practice.
Get the beer belly.
Guru. I could get out there right now in cornhole and destroy people.
Oh, my gosh.
Just toss it one by left
hand. Oh, my
hand.
Gosh.
You don't need
You're
practice.
Crazy.
You're not. Is
You're
he trying
crazy.
To say there's some
practice.
Strategy?
I'm trying
practice.
To tell you that if you went out against a legitimate cornhole player, you'd get shut right out.
No,
They're
no
not
way.
Giving scholarships for cornhole.
You know what? Let's wait and see on that. Let's wait and see on that.
Can we have beer pong then in the Olympics? Beer pong?
No.
Beer
no.
pong takes strategy.
Completely different.
Or dodgeball while you're at it.
Completely different. Completely. Steiny, don't you listen to golf music playing golf? Nah, I haven't lately. But you know what? This is different. Like, if you're having a cornhole tournament, you should be able to play music, like, loud for everybody to hear, like it is at a barbecue.
Okay, right.
But not with your earphones. Not with your walk.
They were locked
the
in. I appreciate the effort. They were locked in, but it's not a sport.
You come off as antisocial.
And
if
why
you do
is
that.
It? Why is the cameraman? What's he saying to himself? Like, why the hell? Somebody, you got to get a check. I get it.
888-957-9570, the number, and cornhole next Olympic sport.
I think so.
And you know what? Rightfully so. Let's go to Anna. Find out what's going on 95.7 The Game.
I love watching race walking, by the way, in the Olympics. It's really fun to watch. All right, what's coming up on the game?
You need to reevaluate your life,
Anna.
It's
so much fun. You got to watch it. 2 o'clock in the morning. Best time. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Dialpad. The 49ers' first preseason game is in the books. Bonte, Steiny, and Guru are breaking it all down. But want to know your takeaways from the game. Unfortunately, the injury story just won't go away. The guys will get you up to date on the latest injuries with our super reporter, John Dickinson, at 1 p.m. Plus, the NBA schedule is coming out today at noon. We'll go over the Warriors schedule at Chase Center. So let's see if JD can memorize that one. He'll have 1 hour to do it. In baseball, Giants took 3 of 4 from the Phillies. Are the bats back to life? The guys will ask Giants insider Alex Pavlovich at 11:30. The Bay Bridge series starts tomorrow. One guy who played for both the A's and the Giants, Barry Zito, will join the Dame and Bruce show today at 3 p.m. This update is sponsored by Dialpad. Dialpad is changing the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud, put a business line on your cell phone, and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dialpad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. I'm Anna Kagadaki's on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
There are cornhole tournaments that you can enter and win money for a scholarship, as a scholarship. So they have a cornhole scholarship qualifying tournament.
Well, you know what? They don't do it in high school, so that's how I know.
They better not do it in high school.
Sorry, Steiny.
Really getting soft.
And how? So did you give DeVoe an hour of your time watching that?
At least. We were switching between that and the golf.
Wow.
Dibley was all in, too.
No, golf I get.
Dibley was all in, too. Fascinating.
I didn't get a call to come through.
No, anybody can play cornhole, though.
What's that?
Anybody can play cornhole. That's
not a sport.
Well,
yeah.
Anybody can play basketball, too, but that doesn't mean you're going to be as good as Michael Jordan.
Well, true.
These guys are unbelievable.
At what?
You know what a four-bagger is?
No, yeah. A home run in baseball.
No. It's when you get all four of your bean bags go in. You've never done that.
I think I got a problem with
the
bean
bag. I've done three in a row.
Oh, so you didn't play.
I've played cornhole because I just started playing 3-4 years ago because, as you say, Goo, cornhole, I don't think we see that in the hood. I've never heard of cornhole.
Oh, 925 says, call the founder of the National Cornhole Association, and he'll tell you how big cornhole's become and its huge presence in the Bay Area.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
I'm a part of a league and have sponsored major tournaments. 888-957-9570.
I'm out.
How much can you get paid? How much can you get paid playing cornhole? How many guys? How much money do these guys make?
There you go.
Per tournament.
There, put the rat on the table. Nothing.
Like if you're talking some money here,
then they absolutely make money. I don't know if it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
My side change, is it more side money than I make at the mortuary?
I actually, yes, it is, and I get the sense that these guys, the really good players, they go on little tours. You know, like they're in Tallahassee this weekend, and then next weekend they got to go to Charlotte for a tournament.
So who's the Jordan of cornhole?
I don't know.
That's my point. Nobody knows.
It's a new sport, relatively speaking.
What's going on here?
This guy named Powers was good yesterday.
What's going on here?
How about that?
This guy, Guru Steiny, during the break.
I know.
Let's let people behind the curtain here. Steven Langford, nice guy Steven, you guys know from Joe Low and Dibs, walks in with the Red Bull.
The snitching that's
and Guru sends Steven Langford to get him to doesn't even pay for it. Langford has to pay for it out of his own pocket.
No, he left my card. He thought he lost it. You don't got all the notes.
No.
I gave him my card.
Well, you did it after I called.
No, he lost it.
You did it after I called you out.
No, he lost it, dude.
And then you complained about the free Red Bull and then brought your card
the
out.
The fact that I'm really getting upset is I got to grow. Bonte. The story goes, I gave him the card. He came back and couldn't find it. So I go, wow, I'll never do that again. He lost the card. So he came back. Buddy, get the facts straight.
I'm going to leave it
Episode
alone.
Of Three's Company.
I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah,
looking at the National League standings, Cardinals, Chicago Cubs, Dodgers, division leaders right now. Washington there at 62-55. St. Louis, Milwaukee, New York, Philly. Arizona still ahead of the Giants. Oh,
what's
boy.
That game back
by
number?
By the way, remember when the Arizona – I should say this once every couple days. Remember when the Diamondbacks traded Greinke? Everybody thought they were done? Boy, did that galvanize that clubhouse.
They're half a game ahead of the
I know.
Yeah,
the Giants. They were behind the Giants when the trade was made.
Well, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
They've won two in a row. The park does not look small. And, Bonte, I told you this in the green room. All of a sudden, the bats have awakened. I've heard, it's Dickerson, he's out. And I loved what energy he brought. But I think I got a new – ain't no think. I got a new fave on the Giants, and we talked to his grandpa. And that's Yaz.
Oh, man.
That's baby Yaz. He swings, Bonte, like he knows what he wants to do. And then when I see Crawford and Bell with the 10-hour – wrist through the strike zone swing. It's like, maybe you're right, Steiny. It is the hitters. It's not the park. It's the Giants offense is awakened. Pilar, they got something going. And this Bay Bridge series for the first time in a long
time. 4-6 over their last 10.
Yeah, that'll get better. It could be 5-5 if they win the next game.
How do you know? You said it was going to get better 10 days ago, and it never has.
I'm just telling you, I thought they were dead. I was ready to come in here with a funeral. You didn't even know yesterday. I was in the lab like this. It's over. They came back. They're scoring. This Bay Bridge series has everything because both teams need it.
Probably should have played a piano during the game.
Look at him. What's 7th inning stretch? Yeah, but go ahead, Bonte.
No, I'm 5 back in the loss column. That's what I see. Cardinals and Nats with 55 losses. The Giants have 60 losses. That's what I look at when I look at the standings. They're five back in the loss column. And I said before this homestand started, you had to go at least 5-4. Well, in order to go 5-4, you had to sweep the Oakland A's in the Babe Ruth series. Do you think that's happening? Not sure about that.
Two-game set, it could happen.
I don't know about that.
If they get hot again like we saw, it's there. But I saw a team that's scoring runs now.
Yeah, but outside of Bumgarner and outside of Samardzija, your starting rotation is wilting. Manez, wilting, should be in AAA. Sean Anderson has hit a rookie wall. Derek Rodriguez has been awful all season. Outside of Samardzija and Bumgarner, your starting pitching is pretty... not giving you five innings, and now you're working the bullpen, and the bullpen's going a lot. Now, I get it. Today's an off day, and Bochy went all out yesterday, managed like a playoff game. But the starting rotation, Steiny, what I've been harping on for the last couple weeks, the depth is starting to show here. They don't have the depth in the starting rotation to get through this schedule, and a schedule that's tough. It's a tough schedule, Goo.
Steiny, it is. They can't get over the hump, but at least it's not going the other way because it was
It is going the other way.
It was at five. It's three and a half. They got it to 3.5.
No, but I would rather be 4.5 back with two teams ahead of me than 3.5 back with seven teams ahead of me.
I'm going to leave that alone.
I'm just saying.
Math's not there?
The math is not even close to there.
The math, 3.5 back is what matters.
Five back in the loss column, yeah. Goo.
I'm not asking that. I'm just saying how
that's
far
what matters.
You're three. Washington has 62 wins. You have 59. That's three.
It's the losses, though.
Okay.
They have 55
that's
losses.
That's why they have a formula, Bonte, and it's not five games back. It's 3.5. Einstein,
Back in the loss column.
How many are they back
Washington,
in the win column?
They're five back in the loss column.
And how many are they back?
If the Nationals end up with...
how many games
if the Giants end up with more losses than the Nationals, they're not going to the playoffs.
The whole point is they got to get hot to make the playoffs. But don't come in here and say it's five back of the loss column.
It is.
I mean, that's important.
What is it back of the number one spot of the wild card? And I'll be quiet.
You're five back in the loss column.
I didn't ask that. I just said how many games back are they of the Nationals right now? That answer is Bonte Hill.
They're five back in the loss column.
It's 3.5, buddy.
It's five nine, back in the loss column. And the seven, Nationals have to make up games.
It's 3.5.
Right, but
glass half full, glass half empty. But it's
137 and 1.
What about Cueto? Still throwing, Bonte. I've seen him again on the gram. Dude, they need him right now. Could you imagine that?
No. And even
not
if
not shocking.
So okay, he comes back.
Another
so
option. What if he taps into
so
what he was
well,
when he was
throw a complete game his first game?
All we need is
come
five.
On, Goo.
Bonte, I'll tell you, all we need is five innings.
Okay.
Five
I think
innings.
You need a little more than that.
You need six from some of these guys.
Who's going tomorrow against the A's?
Not possibly Bumgarner. I didn't see the last Pavs in like 3 minutes. I forgot Pavs is joining the show. 3 minutes.
Fernando in San Bruno. What's up, Fernando?
It's Orlando.
Well, that's, we got some new people back there.
Oh, wow.
Welcome, Orlando.
That's what Bonte would say.
Real quickly, I agree with Bonte a little bit, but he has to be positive. And what I mean by that is the Giants on the road have lost the least. So that's really good. The D-backs still have one game ahead of the Giants in the win column on the road. To take them serious for the playoffs, they do have to be +4 above .500, not -4 under .500. And with all those teams ahead of them, they do not control their own destiny. But you never know. There's still lots of baseball left to play. That's all I had to say. Go Giants.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, for Orlando. How do you hear Fernando when it's Orlando?
Wow. Well, the O.
Nah, no. That's
the Ando.
No.
Huh?
That should be I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is and why that needs to be
played right now.
By the way, the Giants announced yesterday Will Clark's going to have his number 22 retired.
You shocked?
No.
And I think of the Giants, Bonte coming up. Will Clark was the man.
That
infamous picture with Kevin Mitchell, the Pacific Sock Exchange that I referenced on Friday, was all on Twitter over the weekend. Will Clark was the man, but I know working with you two, since now they are going to retire Will Clark's number, you guys are going to say, well, why isn't other, you know, other great baseball giants in? And you have a valid point. But will the thrill against the Cubs in that playoff run and the Giants getting to the 89 World Series against the A's, I mean, he is first base to me when I think of the Giants, him and McCovey.
Well, what I thought yesterday, you had the 89 team back, 30-year anniversary. You see all the legends back, Hum Baby, Roger Craig.
Why didn't they wear the 89 jerseys?
That was, yeah, they should have won the 89 jerseys yesterday during the game. I agree. The Giants dropped the ball on that one. But Larry Bear making one of his – I know he's been around a team for the last month or two since he's come off the suspension. But that was, I think that was his first public appearance at Oracle where he spoke. And the Will Clark thing, to announce that you're retiring Will Clark's number, kind of overshadowed that. And I think the Giants wanted it like that. They wanted it to kind of, hey, Larry Bear, he's going to speak. But, hey, look at this. We got Will Clark, number 22. And not only that, if you're going to retire Will Clark, how do you not retire Jeff Kent's number? How do you not do that?
All right, let's head to the Dial Pad guest line where we've got Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area. He covers the San Francisco Giants. Alex, want to ask you real quick about Will Clark having his jersey retired or the announcement that it will be retired. Does Will Clark's jersey retirement kind of open the door for anybody else that you see, or is he kind of in a league, let's say, more elevated than some of the other players like a Jeff Kent, for example?
I don't know about Kent. I think the one guy that comes to mind is Tim Lincecum. And, you know, that's going to be a guy who had a peak and was a guy who forever will be remembered as a Giant, but won't make the Hall of Fame. So I think that to me is a little bit similar. And, you know, just being around the last few years, and I do spend a lot of time with the jersey numbers and the digging into that sometimes when guys get numbers. I mean, that is the 22 is one that was always given out, but 55 is one that they, you know, won't even really give out. And we've seen guys wearing 8 and 18 and a bunch of other numbers from recent Giants. But I would not be surprised if 55 is the next one. And then maybe, you know, at some point with Clark, it might be a little bit similar to Matt Cain, where, you know, a little bit further down the line, as you get further away from his career, you look back on it and say, hey, maybe he's a guy that nobody should wear 18 again either. Although I will say that just having talked to the guys down there, especially during spring training, I mean, they are running out of numbers. So it's going to reach a point where I think they have to be pretty selective.
You know, Pavs, you bring up Lincecum and Matt Cain, and I get it. Lincecum with the Cy Young Awards and the World Championships. But to just bypass Jeff Kent here, who had – a 5-6 year run that's one of the best ever offensively from a second baseman. Now, I know there's some Giant fans who are still ticked off with the way Jeff Kent left. He threw some guys under the bus. He wasn't the nicest guy in the world. But Jeff Kent, and it's number 21, and what he did in San Francisco, you talk about the numbers, the 29 jacks, 31 jacks, their RBIs, always over 100 RBIs. I think Jeff Kent needs to get his due and get his number retired alongside Lincecum and maybe in Matt Cain, because he was just as productive as those other guys that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's just where do you draw the line, you know? And at some point, I think that's been the issue for them as an organization, is trying to figure out where to draw the line, because you only have so many numbers out there. I mean, you can only go up to 99, and they've retired 10, I believe, and there are other ones, you know, a couple that are, at least one that's retired by MLB, and you just look at the current team. I mean, Madison Bumgarner, Buster Posey, Lincecum, like we mentioned. So I think you start getting to a point where you're maybe choosing between guys who are really, really good Giants, guys who had a big part in those championship years, and then guys, you know, I'll go to the middle infield. Jeff Kent versus Brandon Crawford. I mean, do you retire 35? You know, like, I just think at some point you can't retire everybody's number, and they're going to have to make that choice. And I think for the most part, that's why they've stuck to the Hall of Fame thing. And I think they probably will going forward, but this does, to me, open it up for a few other guys, especially who are part of the championship run, because I think that elevates them a little bit over people who came before them.
Pavs, we got a nice little bit on the show in regard to the Giants and their chances of reaching the postseason, and I've been saying the math is there. You know, they were 9-8 games out. They weren't producing at the plate. They got red hot. And then for the last 2 weeks, they just – that the bats looked impotent again, and I was telling Bonte, you know what, I think it's over. They just can't score runs, and we watched games just like yesterday. The park looks small, and Yaz is leading the gang to me. What are you seeing from him, and 3.5 back in the Pavs book of if you're in it or out of it, where do they stand?
I think you're in it if you're 3.5. I mean, we've seen what the Mets have done. They came from pretty far back. We saw what the Giants did in July. If you're within, you know, that striking distance right there, you are at any point a good week away from being right near the top. And we've seen the Mets. I mean, they got right to the top there for a day. So if you go out and win 6 out of 7, you're right there still. I think the one thing about this race is that nobody has really kind of put the hammer down and run away with it. And even the Nationals, the team that I think is the best team in that mix, they haven't really run away from people either. I mean, they went to New York and had a rough weekend, and their bullpen's terrible. So they're not going to run away from people. So I think this is going to be something that, short of them, you know, having a really rough couple weeks here, I think they'll still be in it in late September, just because everybody in that race, I mean, the Reds are back in it now. Everybody can look at it and say, if we win 5 in a row, we're getting interesting. To your specific point about Yaz, the one thing I'd love to ask somebody in Baltimore is what they didn't see from him to give him a shot, because he is just a really good all-around player. I think, you know, one of those guys that scouts will never look at and go, he has huge power, even though he does have power, or he's going to hit 320, or he's going to be a gold glover, but he just does everything well, and he does every little thing on the field defensively, plate appearances, his power, his ability to get it out of Oracle Park. Everything he does is above average, I think, and that makes him above average player. And for me, that's really one of the best signs of this year, because I think we've talked so much about other guys, but he is the guy that I think going forward is as locked into this roster right now is just about anybody, just because of what we've seen, and he can play all three outfield spots, and that's huge for him.
Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area joining us on Steinmetz, Bonte, and Guru. Hey, Alex, is it a foregone conclusion that the fences are coming in?
To me, it is.
Really?
I think, yeah, I mean, you know, they haven't decided anything yet. They haven't announced anything. I've talked to a lot of people the last couple months, and they're not, you know, it's not within the organization. I don't think they've determined that it's happening, but I just think everybody you talk to assumes that it's going to happen this offseason, or at the very least that the bullpens are going to get moved. And, you know, you can't really move the bullpens without doing something with the fences. So I think they're deciding that right now. I think they're trying to figure out what exactly they want to do, because there are, you know, everybody says just put them in Triple's alley, but there are a couple different ways they can go about this. But to me, I think that's probably pretty close to a lock this offseason that they make some changes to the dimensions there.
Paz, I don't know how you feel about it, but I know when I was watching the game last night, and I was reminded how iconic this park is because of the quirkiness, because of the dimensions, 421 and Triple's Alley, the short porch in right field, the, you know, going splash zone there in McCovey Cove. I kind of want the fences to stay as is, because, look, I get it. You have a team here where you don't have a lot of power, and some guys have trouble hitting balls out of the park, but, man, isn't it fun when you're watching Pilar running the third, slide into third base on the triple? Like, that's what makes the park what it is. What makes it one of the best parks in baseball is having the fences as in. So I think it's, for me personally, I feel like it's an overreaction to a couple players not having enough power to consistently hit home runs at Oracle Park.
Well, I agree with you and disagree with you on one point. I don't think the reaction right now is to the power. I think the reaction is to the bullpen mounds and just what we've seen with Mac Williamson. Steven Duggar went down. I mean, Harper has gone down on those mounds before. We've seen it 3 or 4 times this year. Somebody trips over them, and I think that's the reaction, is that they have to move those mounds, and that, you know, that's why they've kind of coupled them together. But I completely agree with you that I love the ballpark the way it is, and I do like Triple's Alley, and I think it's, yeah, it keeps guys from home runs, but I mean, there are other ways to hit it out. We've seen it from Yastrzemski. We've seen it from, you know, I remember early on this season, Kevin Kiermaier went deep to right center. I mean, with the way the ball is, with the way the league is right now, you can get the ball out of the ballpark. I just think the footprint of that ballpark is so difficult for them to figure out a way to make this happen without moving the fences in. And certainly there are some people who would like to move the fences in, and I know they've heard from some free agents who don't like the ballpark, so maybe they look at that. But me personally, I would get rid of the Kale Garden and put them there in center field, and do something similar to what the Cubs have done, and maybe put them a little bit underground a little bit, so, you know, they're not in the way of the batter's eye. But I just think the way it seems to be going is that they're going to put this hand in hand, moving the bullpens with potentially doing something in Triple's Alley.
Pavs, I'm rooting for Bochy. I would never second guess him, but I got to tell you, and I want your answer or thoughts. Brandon Belt in the leadoff position, just it doesn't sit well with me because I feel like he's not growing at that role and as a batter. What are your thoughts of him in the leadoff position?
You know, to me, I don't really understand people who are that upset about it. Personally, I think you could look at maybe Yaz doing it. I know they've had Solano in that spot, but I would just tell people on most nights, look at the lineup and ask yourself who really makes a lot of sense in that leadoff spot. And I think traditionally you might go with, yeah, Kevin Pillar is a speedy center fielder.
I was going to say that. Go ahead, Pal. Well,
yeah, but do you know what Kevin Pillar's on base percentage is?
No, I don't.
270. So it's just he hasn't drawn a walk basically the entire year. So I think, you know, that is an on-base percentage spot. That is a spot to have a guy who sees a lot of pitches. That is something Brandon does. That he is miscast physically, I think, when you look at it. I mean, he's not a guy who runs. He certainly is a bigger guy. He's a first baseman. It's not what you expect. But just in terms of digging into the numbers, I mean, you want a guy up there who's going to reach base. You don't want a guy up there who strikes out a whole lot and doesn't ever draw a walk. So I think that's why it makes sense for him. They don't have an ideal leadoff hitter on this roster. It's an issue going forward and something they'll have to figure out. And I think it's going to be a big part of the offseason. But I just don't have a huge problem with it just because I think they don't have a lot of guys who fit specific lineup pieces. And really, there have been a lot of studies that show, I mean, the most important spot is that two spot. And most days they're hitting Yaz there and hitting Belt first. So you really are hitting potentially either their hottest hitter or best hitter right now, Yastrzemski. You're hitting him in that two spot where he should be. And putting him behind the guy who, at the very least, even when Belt's not going right, he's seeing pitches and drawing walks.
Hey, Alex, thank you so much for joining us, as always. Really appreciate it and some real good stuff there.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area.
Vince is coming in.
The best line of the interview. Get rid of the kale gardens.
Hallelujah.
That's the best line of the interview.
Love it.
You can't get rid of the kale gardens.
You have
can
to.
You?
You have to.
It's putting out some good kale.
Oh,
no, seriously.
On.
It's good
Diddley's
kale.
Diddley's a big kale guy.
He says he is.
Oh.
But
you see,
I mean,
his body? You see him? He looks like he eats kale?
Whoa.
I love you, Divs. But don't look like he's eating too much kale. Not a lot of greens in that body.
Whoa.
Or the other type of green, maybe.
Esbonte, Dibs.
Is that really the message you want to send, though, to vegetarians and vegans, that you're getting rid of the kale garden?
It's a baseball stadium. I don't even damn about vegetarians.
It's going to a ball stadium, part farm.
You going green?
Like going to a flower garden. Going to go see a baseball game.
Arizona's got a swimming pool back there. You know what else? I'll tell you what they should put back there. A cornhole game. That's what they should put back in the kale garden.
Man. I think you're trolling.
888-957-9570. Steinmetz, Bonte, and Guru. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Daryl the Guru Johnson is taking off. He's got a little personal business he's got to attend to. And nothing serious. He'll be back. He'll be back. Don't worry. He'll be back tomorrow.
I plead the fifth.
That was a drop, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. He's not really here. Let's go to Shaq in Dallas. What's up, Shaq? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Do you think that Antonio Brown's going to leave the Oakland Raiders?
Well, Shaq, thanks for the call. I'm a guy to throw that to Bonte.
I don't know. He'll be playing football, but this is the first of what will be a long, drawn-out circus. This is why I changed my opinion on Antonio Brown. Because, Steiny, I'll throw the rat on the table and admit this to all our listeners here. We didn't work together at the time, but I was a fan of the Niners possibly shopping the number two overall pick for Antonio Brown. That's how highly I thought of Antonio Brown as a wide receiver. And then you see the antics on IG. You see the way he goes about his business, and it just brought me back to Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, who was a 49er, who's in the Hall of Fame and contributor here at 95.7 Game. And I was like, do you want an added personality like that to a young locker room? Like, I don't think you want to do that. And so this whole helmet gate and the foot thing and him working out everywhere, kind of just doing what he's doing. He'll be a Raider this year. But will he be a Raider when they move to Las Vegas? I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither on that one. I want to get back to something Pav said, Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area. In case you don't know, the Giants are going to retire Will Clark's number 22. That was announced yesterday. It'll be done sometime next season. And I threw out to Pavlovich, how about Jeff Kent? I mean, Jeff Kent, I think, should have his number retired. And what I thought was interesting was Alex didn't really even get around to Jeff Kent. He talked about Matt Cain, Lincecum, Brandon Crawford. Listen, I love Matt Cain. 104 and 118? You can't retire that number.
Tough luck loser.
He was.
Tough luck loser.
He was. 3.68 ERA.
Yeah.
But you can't. Matt Cain, can he really have his number retired if you're... You're the Giants?
It's basically because of the World Championships.
I know.
It's just overlooking.
But then, look, but then you gotta throw them all in there.
You got exactly. Like he brought up Brandon Crawford. Like I'm not retiring Brandon Crawford's number. I'm not. Gold Gloves, World Series championships. I get it. But do people realize the stretch Jeff Kent had with the Giants from '97 to '02? And those Giants teams are real good. We know about Game 6 against the Angels, Steiny. They made a lot of playoff runs, lost to the Cubs in a wild card, lost to the Mets in the Division Series, lost to the Marlins in a Division Series twice. I mean, Jeff Kent, we were just arguing about him being in the Hall of Fame, and now we're talking about getting his number retired. If we're going to retire Lincecum and you're going to retire Kane's number, Steiny, Jeff Kent better be right there with him.
I mean, I guess the argument against Jeff Kent is that he was with the Giants for 6 years.
Right.
Guy like Matt Cain was there his whole career, 13 years. Although, man, you look at the late years for Cain.
Awful.
8-10, 2-7, 2-4, 4-8, 3-11.
What about the ERAs? Look at the ERAs, Stardy. 2013, four at the ERA, 4.18, 5.79, 5.64, and 5.43. And then we talk about Lincecum. Look, the first 4 or 5 years with Lincecum, dynamic. It was electric. And then you look at 2012, 5.18, 4.37 a year after, 4.74 the year after that. Then we saw what he did with the Angels, 9.16 ERA, couldn't even crack it in the majors no more. Jeff Kent, his 6 years with the Giants, he won an MVP, 5-time All-Star, 4-time Silver Slugger winner. Played a good second base. They said, oh, his defense was suspect. Well, he was more than capable defensively. Didn't hurt you there. Jeff Kent put up Hall of Fame numbers in those 6 years with the Giants. But what Giants fans are going to say, the same bone they had to pick with Pablo Steiny, he said bad things about the organization when he left. Who cares?
I know.
Who cares?
I mean, honestly, what about Sandoval?
Why not?
Sandoval? I mean, to me, is he less or more deserving than a Matt Cain?
Deserving.
That's what I think. Let's go to 211 in Fremont. What's up, 211?
What's up, fellas? Hey, y'all know it ain't no secret. I'm a diehard Raider fan. So check this out. I don't care what Antonio does outside the line. All I care about is once week one comes in and he produces, that's all that matters. And all that extra stuff, hey, it don't matter to me. And, Vontae, all you got to worry about, man, just worry about your Niners staying healthy, bro, because they can't, dog.
211.
Wow.
Hey, 211, though.
Is he still there? Come on.
Is he? He might still be there. No?
He's gone? All right.
He hung up on us because he knew. 211 didn't want to hear the backlash.
He didn't want that smoke, Steiny.
No, he didn't.
He didn't really want that smoke.
And, you know, I think he knows deep down that what Antonio Brown's doing is going to sabotage the season. I think he knows.
Yep. And he knows that Gruden has to take the high road there, where it's like, hey, I'm on Antonio Brown's side here. Well, you better be. You better be on his side. You better say the right things.
The thing about 211 is, you know, if you're going to hang up on us, 211, then you're going to take the heat after you hang up. If you would have stayed on the line, we'd probably be a little more kid glovish toward you. But you can't hang up on us. By the way, 211, I'm going to ban him for the couple days.
Wow.
What do you think?
That was strong, Steiny.
Yeah, you know. Why? Nobody hangs up on us.
Come on.
I mean, come on, 211.
Let him ride. Yeah, give him a pass. He's a loyal listener. He's loyal.
Oh, he's still here? Yeah, 211. Let's get 211. 211. I'm thinking of banning you.
No passes for me. Hey, ain't no passes for me. I'll walk the main yard alone. What's up, fellas?
Good. Hey, you know your boy sabotaging your season, Antonio Brown. Come on now. And you know Gruden. Gruden's selling his soul as we speak.
I'm going to keep it 100 with you guys. It's hard to decipher because I don't really, honestly don't know if it's part of Hard Knocks and it's all staged. I know the dude is kind of loped out. Don't get me wrong. I know the dude's kind of whacked out a little bit up there, but it's just too much of what the heck is going on to actually think it's not Hard Knocks. You know what I mean? I didn't think he was going to practice most of the offseason anyways and the training camp. He's an OG wide receiver, so I didn't think he was going to do much anyways in the preseason first half.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, 211. You can call tomorrow if you want. Yeah.
He called back. Yeah. He backtracked a little bit.
He did backtrack.
A little bit.
What do you think about that? Because that's something. By the way, the NBA schedule coming out in five minutes. 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got a Woj bomb here. Nash is sending us all these texts.
We do?
Earlier times for national TV doubleheaders this season. 22 of ESPN's 36 doubleheaders and 12 of TNT's 31 doubleheaders to start at 7:30 and 10 p.m. Eastern time. So we're going to get 4:30 starts for the East Coast game, 7 p.m. starts for the West Coast game, or 7 and 9:30 p.m. instead of 8 and 10:30 p.m.
Oh.
So we're going to get earlier starts. We'll get some 6:30 starts. We'll get some 7 o'clock starts.
Wait, so there's going to be some Warrior games starting at the Chase Center at 6:30 during the week?
Yep.
Really? That's not good. Because remember all the playoff games that start at 6 and it's not that crowded when the tip-off starts?
Blaming traffic.
Yeah.
Blaming traffic. That's tough.
What do you want to see from the, because the baseball schedule came out too today.
What's this?
And I'm thinking, so what?
Asinine, right? Why did you release it during the season?
Well, why? What do you look for when the Warriors NBA schedule comes out? Like, what key games are you looking at?
We obviously look at Christmas. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
They're playing Houston on Christmas. Okay. They're playing Houston. I'm trying to think. To me, the games are the Lakers.
We got some news here, Steiny.
We do.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Wow. Breaking news from Sham Sarania. NBA has reduced number of Laker games with 10:30 p.m. Eastern start time from 19 to 10. The Warriors were reduced from 18 to 11. Interesting.
So what does that mean? 7:30 to 7?
7:30 to 7 or 7:30 to 6:30.
11 of 18 games will start earlier now. Okay, 18 games last year. Were these the TV games?
Yep, national TV games.
Okay, so.
You don't like the earlier starts, huh?
I got to tell you, I'm a little confused.
It's all over the place.
So we're going to have 6:37 and 7:30 games next year.
Right.
That's not good.
It's going to be all over the place.
I know. That's. I'll tell you, fans struggle with that. What time's the game? 6:30. We struggle with that, too.
Right.
We're going to have to.
Fans doing their happy hour thing. You get off work at 4 or 5 o'clock. You want to get a quick drink.
It's true.
You go to the bar, and then all of a sudden at 6 o'clock, it's like, hey, we got to get down to Chase. Then it's just a madhouse trying to make the last dash rush because you want to see opening tip. It's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. I wonder how much – the other thing I want to know is once the Warrior season starts, let's say in October, are the restaurants going to be up and running outside the building? And is there going to be action down there? Is it going to be like Oracle Park?
Well, they have the new video board out there at Chase Center.
Oh, that's right.
Kind of
like
Jurassic Park in Toronto. So they're going to build. That's going to be, I like that.
I wonder if they'll have a audience for that. So let's say the Warriors are playing inside. Are they really going to have 2,000 people outside watching it?
Only if it's playoff games.
I don't know, maybe.
Playoff games.
And will the game be televised on the big screen every single home game? Do they do that in Toronto?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
They did that in Toronto. Did that in Toronto. So
every home game is on.
Yep.
Well, hell, they may as well put every away game on, too.
Why not? Go down there and watch the away game right outside of Chase Center?
Well, they probably want to. They should put it on the big screen in the arena like they do with the playoff games at Oracle. Boy, that's going to be tough. That first game going to Chase Center. going to be weird.
It's going to be. Are you getting used to it? Are you? I drove by it Friday night.
No,
I'm just to see it in the city, and I'm just like, man, there's really a basketball arena here, right down the street from Oracle Park. I'm like, this is really happening.
It's pretty incredible too, because, I mean, it was something that was always kind of a dream or a pipe dream for Chris Cohan back in the day. When he took over the team in 95, they were talking about maybe doing this. I think they were saying they were using the one of the places they wanted to try to build it was the Mint, where the Mint is.
Oh, the Money Mint?
Yeah.
I actually grew up
at the top of Broad or Market, like halfway up Market.
Warriors have 12 TNT games. Nash just told me 12 TNT games. I grew up a block away from the Mint, Steiny. I used to walk by there every day. The Money Mint, it's right there on Herman and Webster. So right a block up from Market Street.
I think
right
that's
a block
where,
up from Safeway. So he wanted to build it right there. It's not a lot.
I think so. If I'm not mistaken.
It's kind of on the hill.
Or no, I'm thinking of the post office, actually.
Okay.
Wherever the old post office is. But there's a great burger place called the Mint, right?
There is. On Market? There is. Yeah.
Really?
Not bad. Yeah, not bad. It's a good burger.
It's not bad at all. So 888-957-9570. So how are we going to do this schedule release? Like, do you have it in front of you now, Nash?
No, but no, they don't have it yet. I'm looking at Twitter right now.
Okay.
And it's starting to trickle in slowly. Oh. I got The Jump on the TV. The Jump was going to announce it, so we'll get some schedules there.
All right. Here's what I want you to do. Pelicans have 20 national games. That's more than the Warriors? 20 for the Pelicans.
Wow, they're really pumping. They're really throwing Zion
Warriors
in our face.
With 12 games on TNT alone. Let me ask you a couple questions here. If you got Will Clark, Jeff Kent, Brandon Crawford, Matt Cain, and Tim Lincecum, how do you rank those guys, Wanda? I mean, Matt Cain cannot have his number retired. I mean, you're going to have to go. Sandoval's got to be there. Everybody's going to have to be
right
there.
But you open up that's what I said. I saw Will Clark get his number retired out of nowhere. I mean, he hasn't been a Giant. He left the Giants after 93, went to Texas, then became an Oriole. And, yeah, he's been around the club. Okay, that's fine. You want to retire Will Clark's number? That's fine. He was a good Giant. He was a really good Giant. But what is Jack Clark saying right now? The Ripper. What is he saying right now? He's saying, what about my number? Jeff Kent. You know, you can make an argument. Some people may say JT Snow. They may bring up JT Snow. And what's the difference between him and Brandon Crawford? Both Gold Glove winners, known for their glove, not their bat. If you're going to retire Will Clark, you have to retire Jeff Kent. You have to retire Lincecum. I guess you're going to retire Matt Cain. But then there's Pablo Sandoval. Where do you put Pablo Sandoval, Stardy?
That's a great question.
You're going to have to retire all these numbers. And I don't agree with the notion that, and I love Pads. I love what he does at NBCSportsBayArea.com. But who cares if they run out of numbers? Retire good players. The Yankees do it. Who cares? You got to honor your greats. You want to put their numbers up there. If you're going to put Will Clark up there, you have to put Jeff Kent. You just can't. These numbers, Steiny, and I know I don't want to just read numbers to the masses here, but when you hit 29 jacks and 121 RBIs, you help the team win a division title. The next year, 31 homers and 128. I mean, I think we have something with the schedule here, but Jeff Kent has Hall of Fame-worthy numbers. Some of the best numbers offensively for a second baseman in Major League Baseball history.
Who are the, I'm thinking off the top of my head, second baseman in the Hall of Fame, got to be Joe Morgan, Ryan Sandberg, Roberto Alomar, yep, is most likely in. Off the top of my head, that's all I can think of. But, I mean, Jeff Kent had some monster numbers. Not to mention he was an MVP.
MVP.
An MVP 1 year. Here's what I want to know. 888-957-9570 is the number. Warrior schedule coming out momentarily. Does it do anything for you? I'm trying to figure out what I'll look at first and what kind of interests me. Because we know the Christmas Day games. I mean, I guess to me the big games are the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah.
I want to see when those games are. And
we get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, They're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.